Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert and noted author. You can find his books at your favorite book retailer. Of course, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report come to us from his mothership, KXEL, Cedar Falls and Waterloo. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
You know, I'm good. If I'm a little out of breath, it's because I had to hurry back so that I wasn't late. It's a long way to the studio from the gravel pit.
And Oh, yeah.
Really had to haul it on over here, but I'm here for you, buddy.
Okay, let's start with that. You know, you, I read that story, and I mean, I want to say this. We posted this up on the Blue Amp channel, and it's got like 2,000 hits on the video from that show. I did this on this. The reality is that this is, you read the story, and what made me laugh wasn't any kind of shooting of the animals, is what she freely shared this story, and then her first initial response was, well, I got more of this for the woke mob, and she just didn't realize, no, that's just a mob. You got a mob coming after you. Did Kristi Noem torpedo any chance she has at being the vice president at this point?
Yes.
Yeah. It's gone.
It's short answer. Well, here's the thing. It is true. Now, I did not grow up on a farm.
Yes.
I've lived in Iowa my entire life. I have great respect for that way of life.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a different viewpoint about animals because many people on the farm raise animals for slaughter so that the rest of us can have grill outs. Okay. I mean, it's a different mindset. But if you are going to give up on the dog,
yes,
there are other rehoming opportunities, whatever, okay? I'm not going to go too far second-guessing the actions, although cringeworthy. But you not only admit to them, but you brought it up, you doubled down on it in a book that was designed to enhance your national election chances. I don't know that I get it. And I've heard no good excuse. I mean, I've heard everything from people saying she did it on purpose, told the story, because she wanted to prove to Trump she was tough enough. You can tell the story in private. You don't need to slather it. I mean, I just don't know what constituency. Let's leave it at that. I don't know what constituency she was trying to reach.
I mean,
putting that in there.
Doesn't this go back to what you've always said, which is, and by the way, she got visibility. She just, you would get visibility for good reasons or bad reasons.
And an investigation for animal cruelty.
Exactly.
If there was any justice.
Yeah, we're skipping past the goat because I don't think the goat wasn't a good hunter. You just wanted to kill a goat for some reason.
Well, these are not wild animals. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true in the neighborhood where I live. Now, it's not a gated community like you, but I live out in the
that's
country.
Called a jail cell. It's a jail. A gated community is a nice term, but, you know, it's, you know, work release. Anyway,
I wasn't going anywhere near prison or jail today after last week. Moving right along. But we have, you know, animals. OK. And there are foxes that can be seen, and they are not real good with your domestic pets. And so when we moved out there, somebody said, you don't let those cats out, do you? No. Well, there are foxes, and, you know, sometimes we have to shoot them if they come, you know, onto the property and are aggressive. Okay, whole different issue, as opposed to this is the livestock at an, or you were a bad trainer of this dog. I mean, Cesar Millan would not be in favor of this treatment.
Well, and if I can say, in the metro area, we have raccoons, coyotes, and foxes. And they're all around my house. If you leave a dog out, you could possibly have a problem. We've had neighborhood cats under the same thing. Now, we live in the suburbs. You can't just take a gun out there and start shooting at things. It's just you have to predicate your pet ownership to the environment that you are in. Now, that being said...
Right.
the fact that she was so belligerent when this story broke, when The Guardian broke the story, it goes back to what you say. All politics is local, but this is a great example of someone who a story like this, and frankly, I've heard from a lot of people from South Dakota who say, no, this story doesn't fly out there. But yeah. I think within her subsect of South Dakota politics, that this is a story that is, I get it. You got to shoot things every once in a while because we love Yellowstone. But the reality is that it is such a microcosm story and appeal that who proofread this book and said, oh, yeah, that part about the dog and goat shooting, great stuff. I mean, yeah, exactly. Someone, it almost feels like the insulation of this story is what really got her, and that she should have sent this out to other people. And when they said, you don't want to put the dog shooting story in there, she should have listened to them.
Let's keep in mind that she's the one who put the story in the book.
Yes, she is.
About the dog and the goat.
Yes.
So when you're talking about The Guardian and how she bristled at the criticism, they're looking at advanced copies of her book. Okay. It's not like there's a story and she had to respond to it. So again, I have a hard time wondering the context. Now, I cannot, as I sit here stammering and talking to you, think of a context where I would say, oh, yeah, I understand. But I would like to read the chapter or at least see, in what framework is this? But I have, what is the cohort of potential voters that Trump alone has the biggest problem securing?
Suburban voters.
In
suburban
particular?
Women. Suburban women.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a nightmare scenario. I mean, the Republicans had to actually, and very quickly, in mass, came out and condemn this. Because, and one of the things, I've had multiple conservatives who have been around dogs. I was raised around dogs. My dad trained dogs. Every one of them said, well, you clearly were doing something wrong. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a dog that might not have been trainable, but you don't just, because you're frustrated or you suck at training, go and shoot the dog because you're embarrassed or something. You got other options. The fact that pretty much most of the Republican Party has turned against her, that, even Jeanine Pirro on Fox was really hammering on her. I mean, yeah, she has completely and totally torpedoed any kind of ability for her to possibly run on a national ticket.
You remember the story about Mitt Romney?
Oh, the dog, yeah, on the top of the car.
And what was, in essence, the real-life National Lampoon Vacation situation. It's like, here's the problem with it. If she didn't want to be Trump's running mate, just say no. If you think that you are needed in South Dakota, just say no to the president and move along. Because sadly, I mean, I think she had, and you and I disagree on this, I think she would have brought a lot to a national ticket. I am speaking past tense because I think her chance is shot. Yeah. I think she had a set of skills that could be very helpful. Not electoral votes from her home state. That's only 3. But I think she could have brought a lot to the table. But this, I don't know how you get past it. Mm. And it's not, Tim Scott spreading a rumor to try to elevate his own stature. Once again, her own book.
Yeah. I disagree with the idea that she would have helped. I think she's more like a Sarah Palin, only from South Dakota. And the problem is that if Trump really wants help from a female politician, someone like a Lisa Murkowski would definitely help her, definitely help him appeal to suburban women far better than this. Because the problem, what happened with Sarah Palin, the more she talked, the worse it got. And if Kristi Noem is freely admitting shooting dogs at the gravel pit in her book, you can already see that cab coming down the street with its doors wide open.
And don't forget the goat.
Don't forget. And then the 3 horses she said she euthanized a few weeks back just because.
What?
Did you see that one? She tried to, that was like on her 3rd attempt at defending it. She said that they just euthanized 3 horses. And the first thing someone who owns horses told me, she goes, I've had to euthanize a horse once or twice. I've never had to euthanize 3. that is really weird that you just decided to go for, you know, value pricing on this.
Well, you know, the value pricing, very nicely done. I was just going to take the one in, but they're running a special. The thing that when your defense to shooting your puppy hunting dog is to say, well, yes, I took it to a gravel pit. Okay, premeditated, you know, it's not an accident. And when you double down on justifying shooting the dog by saying, well, I've shot a goat too. Yeah, and then when that hits the fan, you say, well, hold my beer. I euthanized three horses. I don't get it. I just simply don't get it. And again, I would love to give someone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I just cannot conceive, Matt, of a situation where I would now sit back. I'm a sucker for animals. Okay, that I'll admit that. But holy Hannah, I just can't think of a situation where I'd say, oh yeah, you get a pass on all three of those.
Yeah. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, speaking of going to the gravel pit, RFK Jr. Now, I'm going to take credit. You generally, I constantly refer back to how many smart things you say and they come to fruition months later. It's pretty astounding. I want to say I got one on this one. I said to you, I got one. I finally got one. RFK Jr., I said when he announced he was running, I said, mark my word, he's going to draw more people away from the Trump campaign than he's going to from the Biden campaign. And all of a sudden, Trump is now in panic mode because they're showing polling that, yeah, he does pull a few people from the Biden camp, but he's pulling a much larger chunk from the Trump camp. And Trump today, I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday, last night, went on Truth Social and ripped on right-wing media saying, why are you giving him all these softball interviews? You know, he's a plant candidate against me. It is really turned. I'm going to be blunt. I know a lot of Democrats. I don't know a single person who is saying, I'm going to not vote for Biden. I'm going to vote for RFK Jr. I do know a few independents and moderate Republicans who say that's their candidate this time around. Talk a little bit about this, because this is just, it's something I mentioned before, and it does seem now to be coming to fruition that the Republicans realize, maybe this is not the slam dunk against the Democrats they thought it was going to be.
You were right from the start. Go ahead and clip that if you want for the promo.
Yay!
Matt was right from the start.
It happened.
With this asterisk.
Okay, yes, all right.
Yes, Roger Maris hit 61, but, you know, there were more games. It all depends on state by state. Yeah. RFK Jr. will have no effect on the national race because there is no national race, right? Mm-hmm. We go state by state. If, for example, he can siphon enough votes from Biden in Michigan, for example, okay, now we got something to talk about, or Arizona, or, you know, any of these other states. So there is a factor, and depending on which state, I still maintain it may hurt Trump or may hurt Biden. And again, it's state by state. But to your point, someone asked me the other day about RFK Jr. and said, is he voting for Biden? And I said, he's voting for himself. I wasn't getting the question.
Yeah.
And it was, well, you know, is because if he would vote for Biden, then if he made that known, then Republicans would stay far away from him. Now, here's what, as I know, Mr. Kennedy has said, he would never vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. And Biden can't win. That's been his statement. Okay. Why are you running, Mr. Kennedy? I would never support Trump and Biden can't win, so I need to be the alternative. That tells me he is very clearly saying never Trump. Now, how does that cut with independents and with the moderate Republicans?
But here's the other problem with his campaign. He has brought a bunch of Republicans into his campaign. As a matter of fact, in New York, his campaign manager for the state of New York is someone who basically has said it has to be either RFK or Trump. That's it. And they brought her in. You know, it really is.
Paycheck. Trump. It's just paycheck, dude. I mean, you remember when Ross Perot ran?
Yeah.
And, you know, here's Ed Rollins, I think, if I'm not mistaken, signing on, and some other Republican operative or whatever. And it's like, okay, you've just killed your career.
Yeah.
Because you'll never vote. You'll never work for another Republican. And this is called I Want My Paycheck. And it's,
Yeah.
You know, I don't take it with any seriousness.
Republicans are scared about something because they're turning on him fairly quickly. Not Absolutely. As fast as Noam, but something happened there. We'll take a break. Mm-hmm. Come back. It's Jeff Stein on a Wednesday. Suicide machine. Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein with his usual weekly visit. Okay, so Jeff, clearly what we are seeing now, going to the U.S. House, the internet machinations there. So we get the bill that goes through, gets funding to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, I believe it was. And it gets through, and it gets through fairly easily. Now you get Marjorie Taylor Greene and a few other, Massey, I think, is one of them, that have basically said, no, it's time for Johnson to go. Mm-hmm. And fairly quickly, the Democrats said, we are not going to entertain this. You know, it seems like, I mean, it's a fair guess, right, that this was the trade-off. We'll get you this deal. Ukraine will get funding. Here's the deal. When the inevitable MAGA guys come after me, you guys are not going to allow it to go any further than that.
It has to be some kind of a deal. I mean, even in the most innocent of situations, it's the Democrats saying somebody's got to look like the adults as we head toward reelection. And so if we stand up and we don't participate in this palace coup, because let's face it, what get done if the chair is vacated? Zero. Absolutely nothing. Two names. So if in essence they've got a portion of Johnson's anatomy in a jar on the shelf, shall we say?
Yeah.
And, you know, this way they look like they're the governing class. Because what's the other thing that could happen? You throw Johnson out and the Democrats move to elect Hakeem Jeffries. Well, they don't want that on their record, that stain on their record when they go toward election. Mm-hmm. It's much better for them to say, we don't want a disruption, we don't want any problems, and we get what we want, and it's all great. Because the crazy train can't have that many seats on it to be successful. And right now, they're down to, I guess, three. It's Massey and Green, and I think there's someone else who's got their nose out of joint.
Oh, is not Chip Roy. Texas. It's Texas, someone in Texas. I know who you're talking about.
So the bottom line is, we all... When she says, I'm going to bring it up soon, next week, maybe the week after, you know, okay, that's fine for it to always be hanging over his head. But, you know, it all depends. You want to paralyze the entire government and be the one responsible for that and take that to your voters for your reelection or not?
What's interesting is Johnson clearly is not. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said now that she's going to do this. Indeed, she's going to bring up this vote next week. He clearly is not afraid of this or anything. There's no, it's not like McCarthy where he's, we have to have some private meetings sort of thing. He's like, okay, fine, do it. As a matter of fact, he had a dishonor today, but.
Well, he's tried, you know, he tried to sit down with her, tried to bring her into leadership. She wanted to be the bomb thrower. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's all good. But when the person you're complaining about says, join us and help make it better, and the bomb thrower refuses, that shows you what the motivation is, and it's not good government.
It is remarkable to me that really the Democrats are helping the Republicans at this point, because the worst thing that could happen to the Republicans is they basically don't get a speaker. My guess is either Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks that she's going to be welcomed in as the savior or whatever. I don't think so. But once again, something you've pointed out, the Speaker of the House doesn't actually have to be an elected representative. Anyone can become the Speaker of the House as long as they're voted that way. So my guess is they're thinking that Ryan or someone from the past, from the Republican glory days, will come forward and be their savior there. No one wants it.
The folks hate Ryan.
Well, would you, even if you were, say, a 50-50 guy, you know, that half of them like it, and you want to get back into power, would you take over that job? That job's insane with that minimal, the diversity, with the division on the right, and the fact that you can't really do anything unless you're appealing to both sides, which are not compatible. Why give yourself the headache?
Well, and you said the Democrats are helping the Republicans at this point by keeping Johnson in. I'm going to I'm going to twist that a little bit. They're helping themselves because they're the ones who look like the statesmen and stateswomen by just, you know, it's like we don't have time for the shenanigans in a short session of a re-election year. You know, I think they're not just there to help Mike Johnson.
No.
They're getting something out of it. Maybe it's the Ukraine bill. More likely it's they're getting to say we're not the train wreck. You know, it was pointed out by someone on the Twitter X, and so you know it has to be true, that, you know, what's Schumer's majority? There are more Republicans, Matt, in the, but it's only because the three independents caucus with the Democrats that Schumer has the majority. So it's not like he's got this big majority and his people stay in line.
For the most part,
so
yeah.
What the heck?
Are we, I mean, okay, so Noam self-destructed. Marjorie yeah. Taylor Greene thought, she, I mean, because once again, these are politicians, you and I have talked about these districts that are so red that they're going to go in no matter what. But the idea of a statewide race, they're not going to run for Senate because they'll get she'd get destroyed in Georgia. She can't really run. You know, she has no appeal for a presidential run herself. This vice presidential thing is their only chance to stepping stone up into a bigger position. But we're seeing kind of the end of Kristi Noem and the end of Marjorie Taylor Greene because Trump himself has turned on her a bit. That's why I think she's throwing a temper tantrum and wanting to do this vote because she's trying to stay relevant. But the reality is this takes them out of the contention. So who do you think is going to be the front runner for Trump for VP? Is it Vance?
No, it's Tim Scott.
Is it? You really think it's going to be?
I still think it's Tim Scott. And that's why I said earlier, Tim Scott didn't leak this story, but you wouldn't have been shocked. I mean, what does he bring to the ticket? He brings a fair amount. And it's not the state. You know, so what about South Carolina? That's not the issue. He brings something to the ticket that Trump does not have. And keep in mind, you don't need many votes to switch. And this is going to, you know, I hate to quantify it this way. Trump cannot name a Caucasian male. I just don't think that works from an electoral standpoint. The only exception is DeSantis. I don't believe, by the way, I don't believe for a minute their little session that they had. And they, you know,
their makeup session.
You know, that's fine, but DeSantis is not going to work for Trump 100%. Not going to happen.
I might come around on this. I will say this: Ohio and Florida, I think, are much more important to them, and so we'll have to see what happens there. But I think we can say those two are gone for sure. The Iowa politics report, I'll post that a little bit later on. Jeff, thank you very much. Chicago, have a good one. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next.